Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Send me. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go for you wherever you want me to go. Now, there's a big difference here. Now, being willing, the premise of this is that we can do something. Let's say, for example, our children, that they can, we can tell them to do something, or they can volunteer to do something, right? You know, we say sometimes voluntold, that we say they volunteered, but really told them what to do. But right here, we're talking about a volunteering spirit like Isaiah had. God wasn't telling Isaiah, you are going to do this, whether you like it or not. He is saying, who will go? I'm looking for a volunteer that is willing to do this, willing of their own free will to go and do what I tell them to do. And that is something that we need to understand and see in our Christian life, and we need to see this not only in our young people, but our adults and kids, and we need to have this volunteering spirit. Many people want to offer advice, but are not willing to do anything. We all know people like that, that they're willing to give a lot of advice. Maybe you see them, people working on the roadway. You have about five people standing around a hole and one person digging it, and they're all pointing and making comments on how that man should dig a hole, right? And that they're not willing to get in the hole and dig the dirt, but they're willing to tell the other guy how he ought to hold the shovel, how far he ought to throw the dirt, and where he should take his next shovel full. Right, we all know people like that. And by the way, those people, and we at that moment, the person in the hole need to pray that they have patience, because they really don't like people saying, "Well, you know, you should do it this way or that way." But no one is people; they're not willing to do the work. And it's a blessing when you volunteer that people that are in leadership, whether it be in the Sunday school class or it be the pastor or whoever it is, that to have people who volunteer, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's one thing for me to go up and ask someone to do something and they're willing to do it. That's great, having a willing spirit and having a servant's heart. But saying, "Pastor, I want to do this, or is there anything I can do to help?" That's a big blessing to myself and other people that are in leadership positions. Whether it's at home, your parents. Guess what? If kids today, you know, they come up and they volunteer to do something, like, okay, you want something, right? You want to earn some money. You want 50 cents to do something or buy a dollar to buy something, but no, is I just want to do something to help. I want to volunteer. A dangerous thing to say in my family, especially, that was one of my favorite phrases when I was a teenager. "Mom, I'm bored. I'm bored. I have nothing to do," especially summertime. "Mom, I'm bored. I have nothing to do. I'm bored." And my mom would invariably say, she would offer some things that I could do. "No, I've already done that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that." And then my mom would say, "Go talk to your father." Now, the first couple of times, I didn't learn this right. I didn't know what was going to happen. She knew what was going to happen. I didn't. And so I go to my dad, "Dad, what can I do that's fun? I'm bored." And my dad says, "Well, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that you said that you're bored, because I've got all kinds of wonderful things for you to do. I need you to go stack wood in the wood pile. I need you to go take out the trash. I need you to go do this or that." And I said, "Dad, those things aren't fun." I said, "I didn't say anything about fun. You're bored. You don't have anything to do, right? So I'm giving you something to do." And so after about the second time, I learned that when mom says, "Don't go ask your father what you can do," is at that point I decided to go find something myself to do, because I knew I was going to end up working. But you know what? We should have that volunteer spirit to go and to work, just like Isaiah had here in Isaiah 6:8. But here's a test. Are you a willing person? Am I willing? So, "Oh, Pastor, I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm right there. I'm ready to help. I'm ready to volunteer." Let me ask, here's a little test here. So here's a little quiz for you, and you don't have to answer out loud, but you answer these things in your own heart. Do you complete only what is required, or do you look for every opportunity to serve? You do the bare minimum, you do it only what's required, you don't go above and beyond there. Are you willing to serve, or are you only looking for what you get out of serving? That's a very important difference. Just to help and to serve brings joy, but I'm doing this so I get something out of it. Is that motivation behind your service? Do you wait for someone else to fill needs, or do you take immediate action to do your part? "Well, I'll do it if nobody else volunteers for it. I'll do it." right? If nobody else volunteers, and maybe you wait a couple days or a week, and, oh, well, no one else is doing that job, I guess I can do it. Do you ask to help those around you, or do you wait for them to ask you for help? That's very important, being willing to help people. It's, hey, can I give you a hand? Or do you wait for them? I'm not going to ask them for help. They're doing fine on their own, and then I'll help them if they ask me, but I'm not going to offer my help. Are you willing to commit yourself to helping even if you do not have all the details of the need? You know, as the famous last words of a lot of teenagers, I'm willing to do this when their youth leader gets up and says, hey, we need some volunteers for a very special project, right? And like, oh, I want to be a part of the special project. I want to do it. And then, oh, what are we going to be doing? Oh, we're going to be going and raking so-and-so's yard and cleaning out a widow in the church's yard. Oh, I thought this was special. That's not special. I'm not doing that. And half of them bow out. Why? Because they find out what the need is, and then they decide they don't want to do it. Or, you know, say, well, I'll decide if I'm going to be willing or not based on the details. Let me just pause for a moment. Did God tell Isaiah what the details of what he was asking them to do? He just said, go somewhere and do something for him. Didn't to speak for him. He didn't say what he was going to have him speak. He didn't give him all the details. Still, Isaiah was willing, said, here am I, send me. I'm right here. We need to be careful that we don't just say, well, if I know all about it, then I'll volunteer. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and attempt to fulfill a need, to do something you're not used to doing, maybe you don't have experience in? Are you willing to do that? Do you volunteer your help before needs are presented to you? Do you say, well, I see a need over here. Hey, can I take care of that right here? I see this area, or I see this, or I see that. Hey, can I take care of that? That's a need. Can I take care of that? Another question, have you surrendered to God's will? Have you surrendered to God's will to do whatever God wants you to do? Not what you want, not what your idea, whether it be your career or whether it be what your life's work or whatever it is. Have you surrendered to do God's will? God, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it, whether it be a preacher or to work in a ministry in the church or to go in this particular direction, I'm going to do it. Even if it's not something that maybe you thought of yourself, are you willing to do it? Do you have idle time that you spend on yourself rather than volunteering to help someone else? We see that a lot today, right? Video games. Yeah, that's a lot of spending of time on self. That's not helping anybody. And wastes a lot of time. I wonder if anybody's ever looked at how many hours young people today waste. And I'm just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about people my age. You know, I grew up on video games, and that they spent how many hours they waste. There's a lot of soldiers that we've encountered that are single soldiers, and that their life is this: they get up, they go to PT, they go to work, they get back to their room, they sit down in front of their video game console. And or they order takeout and they go back, they sit in front of their video game console from when they get off work at 5 or 6 o'clock, and then they stay up until 3 in the morning, sleep for 2 hours. Then on the weekend, they just stay up the entire weekend, play like a whole 30 hours straight, and then sleep for 5 or 6 hours and do it all again. And they live off Monsters and Mountain Dew and all of that, and that's their cycle they live. And all of those hours, pretty much every waking hour they spend on the video game console getting to the next level, that's a waste of someone's life. It's a waste. And a lot of people do that. They think, hey, that's cool, it's fun, hey, that's what we do. No, it's not. It's spending time on yourself rather than helping someone else. Do you help those who cannot return the favor, meaning that you help someone who can't help? Maybe it's a widow or a disabled person, someone that they can't help in return. They can't do something for you when you need it, but you're willing to help them. That's times when people come by the church and they're needing some financial help or a help in a certain area. And a lot of time people, they come in and they say, hey, you know, I just need, you know, $20, $30, you know. And not everybody is is genuine about that, but you can tell when people are really genuine and they really have a need. And they're telling you the truth about things. And so they say, well, I just want to loan on the money. I'll come back and I'll pay it back and everything. And I say, no. I said, this is a gift to you. I don't want to be paid back for it. I don't want it paid back. If you said, if you want to, and you want to come back and put it back in the offering plate, that's between you and God, but I'm not going to make that a requirement to give you this money. If you want to do it, that's fine. You know, I don't think if anybody's ever come back actually given the money back, but, but you know, that's not usually how it works. But people are willing to do that. But should we require that? No, let's just give someone, help somebody out, be a service to someone, even if they can't pay it back in return. So what is being willing? A person who enters into any service of his own free will without solicitation or compulsion. Solicitation means being it being sold to him, selling the person on the idea, or compulsion meaning forced into it. There were, back in World War II, in Vietnam and in Korea, the draft was on in the United States of America, in that World War I as well, and that there were people that volunteered for service, and then those who had their number taken, and they were sent a notice in the mail or a telegram saying that they had been drafted and that they were to serve their time in the military, or to our service in the military. Now, there were those that volunteered, and then there was those that were drafted. So we're talking about those who volunteered today, Christians who volunteer, not are drafted, you know, because to be honest with you, those who volunteered, would they complain as much about what they were asked to do versus those that were forced into it? That we're not saying that people were drafted, they were unwilling to serve their country. I'm not saying that. But sometimes when you deal with people, maybe you're at a workplace and you select somebody to do a job and they do it whether they like it or not, sometimes they don't like the job they're given and they complain about it. They complain about the job they're given. But people who volunteer, they're not really going to complain about the job. Why? Because they made a decision, whatever the job is, I'm going to do it. Volunteering is going the extra mile, and it's valuable if it's valuable for the Christian, and that they're willing to offer their service to somebody else, not and expecting nothing in return. The volunteer will mean you will need to sacrifice your own resources, surrender your own will, and submit to someone else's authority. Volunteer help is so much better than required or forced help. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount the kind of help we should be when he said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," Matthew 5:41. In that, now this was a reference to something that would happen that a Roman soldier could force especially those countries they occupied, that they could force someone to carry their equipment in their pack for 1 Roman mile. And so what the Jews did is outside of every one of their cities is that they very meticulously measured and marked, and they put markers at the 1 mile mark outside of all, out of every roads, out of their cities and towns, so that they would know exactly how far they were required to go and they would not go a step further. So when Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:41, to go with that soldier, with that person who has maybe treated you wrongly and forced you into this work, that you volunteer, you go the second mile. You don't have to go that far, but that you are willing to say, you know what, I'm just going to carry it another mile. And you know, what if that Roman soldier, you know, just tells that Jewish young man or lady or whoever to, you carry my pack, real rough and rude, and they carry it, then they go that mile, say, okay, give me my pack back, you know, so you can go. So actually, I wanted to carry it for another mile. Is that okay? And then they're going to be wondering, why would you want to do that? Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm volunteering to be of service to you. You know, is that going to open up a witnessing opportunity there by doing that? Absolutely. When you volunteer to help somebody, you're opening up an opportunity to share Christ's love, not only in service, but also the gospel. And so are we willing to do that? So we're going to look at some areas. Now, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6. So ask yourself a little question there. We'll get to some other things here in a minute. But let's look at some observations that we find in Isaiah chapter 6. And so we see the biblical example of Isaiah, that he was willing. We'll begin in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6, and verse number 1 down through verse number 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, 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 is a Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So Isaiah, of his own free will, volunteered for the Lord's service. He only knew that God needed someone to go. He did not know where he was going or what he would be doing. He just knew he wanted to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. A Christian who's in the will of God should do whatever the Lord wants him to do and should look at his service as being for God and not for man. When a need comes up, there ought to be a desire in the heart to fill and do that job. Our thoughts ought not to be, that's not my job or it's beneath my capabilities. Isaiah volunteered and said, here am I, send me. So here are some observations that we have. The first observation is this, that he was in the right place to volunteer. We see in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This is a vision that Isaiah was in the right place in his relationship with the Lord, but also that he was in a place to see God. He had a right relationship with God, but also we see that he was in a place where God wanted him to be, and God revealed himself to him so that he could be instructed in what God's will was. He was in the right place to volunteer. He didn't have any responsibilities that we know of at this time as much, but we see that he was at the right place for God to speak to him. And we see that that this vision that he had was that God was in the temple. As train filled the temple with the temple of the throne of heaven. Looking at, there's a kind of a picture into heaven here. It says the last part, and his train filled the temple. Are we in a place in our relationship with the Lord that we are in the right place for God to speak to us about serving him, about showing us needs? When we're in that place with God and we're growing in grace with the Lord, the Lord's going to show us opportunities. He's going to show us needs. He's going to show us those areas that we can be a part of and that the Lord impresses upon our heart. I want you to do this. Are you willing to do this for me? There's a need over here. There's a person over here. There's a ministry over here. Are you in the right place right now with the Lord to volunteer? Are you in the right place? The second observation is this. He had a mind to glorify the Lord. Why is that? We see in verse number 3, we see the seraphims are there, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So the vision that the Lord is giving him is showing him that this, everything, that whatever God is going to have Isaiah do is going to bring glory to God. Why do we serve God? Do we serve for what we get out of it? Do we serve for the blessing? Do we serve for the satisfaction? And there is joy and satisfaction of a job well done. But are we doing it so that we may reflect the glory of our Heavenly Father to say, I give God the glory for being able to do that. I did it as an offering and a sacrifice to him. I did it not for myself. I didn't do it for recognition. I didn't do it for praise. But I did it because I love my Lord and Savior. I'm going to glorify God in this area. Also now, we see something else that perhaps we don't think of always. The third observation is this. He saw his unworthiness to serve. Let's go down to verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So he was undone. He was completely overwhelmed by what he had just seen. He had seen the glory of God. He had seen the glory of the throne room of God. He had seen something that up until that time, as far as we know, no one else had ever seen. And he had let God pull back the veil of heaven and let him have a glimpse into what it was like in the throne room of God. And he was overwhelmed. And he said, I am unworthy to serve such a mighty and powerful and glorious God. If you look at the description in verse number one of what he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Probably never seen anything like a seraphim before. And each one had six wings. With 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. I mean, that's an amazing sight of itself, just seeing the creation of God and seeing creatures that glorify God and seeing all of this was overwhelming to him. He says, oh no, I can't serve God. I am unworthy to serve such a mighty and holy God. I am sinful. I am unworthy. Woe is me, for I am undone. He says he has unclean lips. And that he is unworthy to serve God. You know what? We don't volunteer for things just because we think we're worthy of doing it. We do it because there's a need. It's, I may not know how to do it. I may not know much. I might not have exactly everything I need to know. I don't have a lot of skills, but I'm just willing to give it a try for the Lord. I'm willing to just do it if I'm able to, and I'll give God the glory if I'm able to. And although I'm not worthy to serve, I don't know much, but I'm just volunteering. Amen. A lot of people say that, well, I'm going to volunteer as long as I know how to do something or do this or that. No, we're just thankful, and the Lord's thankful when you just volunteer and say, I want you to do this. God lays upon your heart, and you just say, I'll do it. I'll do it. The fourth observation, he had his eyes on the Lord. He said, woe is me, for I'm because I have seen what? The Lord. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was looking at God, and he was looking at himself. And by the way, that always happens. When you look at God, it'll always make you look at yourself and say, wow, I'm not what I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. Number five, there were no sins to hinder his service, especially after verse number seven. He laid it upon my mouth, what? The hot coal from off the altar, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now, we don't know what exactly Isaiah meant. He was a man of unclean lips. Maybe he had said some things he ought not say. Maybe we don't know exactly what it was. We had corrupt communication. He had sinned with his mouth, and he lived among people that were sinning with their mouth. Maybe it was because, oh, we love the Lord and we want to serve God, but they were unwilling to. We don't know exactly what was meant by that. But the angel came and brought that coal from off the altar, that purifying coal, and touched his lips, and said that you are forgiven of this. Thy iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Hey, you had sin in your life. Now you've gotten taken care of. It's gotten forgiven. Now you are ready to go. You're ready to go now. You're ready to serve me. You are prepared. And that's always where we need to be. And that we take care of the sin. We see it, we have it forgiven by the Lord. And we're going. And that's it. We're ready to go now. And that's exactly what happened here. In that he had that cleansing. And then we see in verse number 8, our sixth observation, he saw a need and wanted to fill it. Let's read verse number 8 again. And I heard also the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now this is a reference to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then said I, here am I, send me. He saw a need and wanted to fill it. The God of heaven, he has a need. So who's going to go for us? Who's going to speak for us? Who's going to go and be our servant? Isaiah said, I will. I'm not worthy, but I'm going to go. I'll do it. I'm willing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm willing to go. By the way, God never asks for volunteers and then leaves them high and dry and not giving them what they need to accomplish their work. He made himself available. That's the big thing. Are you available? He made himself available, said, Lord, I'm not much. I'm willing. If you want me to, if you don't want to use me, that's okay. But I just letting you know that if you want to use me, I'm here. I'm available if you choose to use me. So what are some ways? How do I get to that place of being willing? Well, here's some verses this morning. You don't have to turn there, but you can maybe write them down if you're taking notes this morning. But how do I get to that place of being willing? Well, the first thing is always look for opportunities to serve. Just like Isaiah did. Look for those opportunities. Look at Galatians. Well, we don't have to look there, but I'm going to read Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called also, unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. Wait, that sounds familiar. What's that verse? That was a Sunday school verse from last week, wasn't it? That's right. That was a verse from last week. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Being willing, also having that servant's heart. Or as 2 weeks ago, for brethren, ye have been called in liberty, but only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Wow. That's exactly what we need to do. Don't use our freedom in Christ to serve ourselves, but that we are looking for to serve God and to serve other people. Second, be willing to go above that which is expected or required. Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. They have done that which was required, but they're still called unprofitable. Why? Because they are only doing what is required. Here's a great example of this. Where I went to college, it was Christian college, and there were people that they had certain duties to do. They had to clean a certain area of their room, okay? And usually there was four people in a room, sometimes three, but usually four guys. And so there would be four different areas of the room. One, then they would split up room jobs according, we'd rotate them every week, that one person would do the wipe down the bathroom, you know, one person would do the laundry or do the trash, take the trash out every day. And sometimes we'd split it four ways, but a lot of times it was two people were on 1 week, two people were off. So this was that. That let's say for example, and this happened to a lot of people, is that the person who had the bathroom duty, they're doing their duty. You know, they're wiping down the mirror, making sure it's clean, and picking up the laundry off the floor and things like that. And then they walk out the room, and there's the trash can right there, and they notice that their roommate has slept in. Maybe he's sick, and he's not feeling well and everything, and he knows that he's done his duty, but you know what? Well, I guess if he's not going to get out of bed and he's not going to take his own trash out, then he's going to get a demerit. And so I'm just going to get back in bed, or I'm going to get dressed, and I'm not going to take out the trash, and I'm just going to let him get in trouble for not doing his job. You know how many people, I was a floor leader, you know how many people did that? A lot. A lot of people did that. See, they just got what they deserved. But you know, whenever, and I'm not saying this to put myself on a pedestal, but it bothered me. I was trained in this way, is that someone didn't do their room job. You know what I would do? I'd do it for them. Because it bothered me that it wasn't done. And it wasn't, I was upset with them. Maybe they forgot. Sometimes my other roommate forgot, and I just go take the trash out. It's just two steps down, just throw it down the trash chute and just put it back and everything. And then my roommate asked me one time, why do you do my room job for me? He said, why do you do it? I don't know. I didn't really have a reason. I don't know. It's just something that needs to be done, and I just do it. I don't want you to get in trouble, but it's not. I didn't do it so he wouldn't get in trouble. It's just I saw a job to do it, and I just did it. I didn't really have a reason or a why. I just did. And that's the same type of attitude as a Christian, that we should just be looking for opportunities. At that same college, they had a big grounds crew. I mean, they had probably almost 100 staff and students that would take care of the grounds, because in Florida, you need to cut the grass every about 3 days. And so they would have ground crews and do all of those things. But the president of the college, that whenever he was walking across campus, that he would see a piece of trash or he would see something, he would go walk out in the middle of the grass, pick it up, and go put it in the trash can and everything. People would ask him, well, why do you do that? You have grounds, baby. And he was up almost 80 years old. Why do you do that? And he was quoted as saying this. He says, if I get too big to put a piece of trash in the trash can, then I'm too big. I'm too big. Now, that's a takeoff of another quote. I don't know who said it, but he said, it's not original to me. He said, but if I've gotten too big to pick up a piece of trash, he goes, why wouldn't I do it? I'm just a servant like everybody else. Well, you have all these grounds, people, and that would always be the example, and that people would hold that up as an example to the students. Hey, be willing to do that. And by the way, it was said one time, one of the preachers got up and preached, and you know what? He went and got that piece of trash. He goes, but of all the thousands of students, how many hundreds of students walked by that piece of trash and didn't pick it up? But it's the president of the whole college is the one that goes and gets that piece of trash. Be willing, don't be that unprofitable servant. Just do whatever is needed, not just what is required. Be willing to do anything. Ask what God's will is and do it. Look at Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you. What do you want me to do? I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. I'll go do it. Go in the ministry, teacher ministry, or go into this line of work, or go to this area, or do this. I'm willing to do it, and even though I don't know much about it. I'll do it. Also realize your skills and talents are for God to use. It's just amazing if you see, you know, on the internet, you have a lot of people that have a lot of different abilities, whether they have musical ability, they can play the violin really well, and they go viral on YouTube, or maybe they're a magician, and they can do really cool card tricks and things like that. They have talents that they have, but they use them to make themselves a lot of money, and that's their whole goal, is to make a lot of money and to be well-known, to be famous. And you know what? A lot of them, when they get famous and they have that fame, they said, you know what? I really wish I could go back to being not so well known, right? Because fame's not all what it's cracked up to be. And you know what? So many people, even in churches, that they have so many talents and they have so many abilities and that they seek to make a lot of money with them instead of serving God with them. Realize that your skills were given to you by your Creator, God the Father. They were given to you as a gift to use for him, to serve him, not to serve yourself. But by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Realize it's for the Lord we do everything. And then last, mean what you say when you volunteer. Well, you said you're going to be there to do this at this time. You better be there at that place at that time when you said you were going to be there. I volunteered, you know, if we had a work day, you know, this happened a lot in the church I grew up in. Okay, who's going to be at the work today? Pastor said, you know, volunteers, you know, about 10 hands, 15 hands, 20 hands go up. Oh, Pastor, we're going to be there. Six show up. Oh, we had something, you know, everybody has something come up. But that, and just as something came up, just every time that workday came around, someone had something going on, something always happened, an emergency happened on that weekend, every time. If you say you're going to volunteer, then be there. If you're not willing to do it, then don't volunteer. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And as he's speaking to the Pharisees, in that, They were disingenuous of what they said. They said that they believed and did certain things when they really didn't. And you say, oh, I'm willing to volunteer, but if at that point you're raising your hand, if I'm willing to volunteer for this, I'm willing to do this for the Lord, who are you doing it for if you don't show up and do it? If you don't follow through on it? Are you just doing it for yourself? Or are you doing it so people know that you volunteered? Or are you doing it for the Lord to accomplish his will in your life? So this week, let's think about that. Are we willing? And there's times we have to, we're sometimes not. Our flesh gets in the way, we're not willing as we need to be. Maybe we need to do evaluation. All the time we need to be evaluating ourselves. Am I willing? Do I have that volunteer spirit that I need to have?